Daryl. I was hoping we would sing some songs concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus as we celebrate Christmas time. But I wanted to look at a few thoughts in regards to his birth. And I've been thinking about it. And I thought maybe we could look at the aspect of the star. I think it's interesting that God used a star, as we sang in the song and is certainly recorded in Scripture, that the star that led the wise men to the exact place where the Lord Jesus was born. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, and beginning at verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" And Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. When ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him." And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wise men who went to find the Lord Jesus, when they were told that this one was to be born in Bethlehem, the least in Judah, the little town of Bethlehem that was prophesied, it would be Bethlehem of Judah, the little small town of Bethlehem, was where the Lord Jesus was to be born. But the wise men were guided by the star. And we see that the star guided them to where the Lord Jesus was. But he was born of Bethlehem of Judah. And I think the fact, as we see as a prophecy of Micah, that speaks that he's to become a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And the Lord Jesus came, his lineage was through David. Paul says in Romans 1 that he was the seed of David after the flesh. And so his lineage was of David, and he was born king. He's the only one that was born king. And this, in God's plan, the star of the firmament of the heaven shone on where the Lord Jesus was. The heavenly star that was born on earth. Let's go to Numbers chapter 24. Without going into great detail, I'm going to read verse 17. This is a prophecy of Balaam. And as we know, Balaam was hired by Balak to curse Israel. And Balaam says, "How can I curse that which God has not cursed?" And out of this came great prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus. There are some other schools of thought on this portion, but I tend to think that it refers to the star that was born, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the only one that was born a star. People today that aspire to be a star of great prominence, takes great labor and great intent in order to be a star. You hear athletes as stars and different ones that are stars and aspiring to the highest prominence place. They want to be the star. But the Lord Jesus was the only one that was born a star. Numbers 24 and verse 17. "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Seth." Now, I think one of the key words in prophecy when you read it in the Old Testament is the word "shall." And you see it's so much in the Old Testament referring to that which is to come. And we see it used in the return of the Lord Jesus. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout. Because it's something in the future that we're looking forward to. And the word "shall" is a very key word. If you see in Isaiah 53, that he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and so on. And that's the word, the word "shall" has very often in prophetical scripture has the thought of something that is yet to come. And we see first I want to touch on the fact that the star of Jacob and the scepter of Israel. The fact that he uses the name of Jacob. Jacob, of course, means the planter, a schemer. But out of Jacob, out of something as that, comes a star, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, as we see back in Genesis, but from Jacob, a man such as he, comes a star, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that he speaks here of the scepter that will come out of Israel. And the scepter, the star, speaking of his birth, his coming to earth, and the scepter referring to the time when he rules and reigns upon earth, that is yet to come. When he will set up his kingdom here on earth. When Israel, which means a prince with God, when God will reign and rule in righteousness. As a star we see his glory. The angel announced, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." We see the aspect of the star, his glory. And then we see the peace on earth, the scepter that is yet to take place. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 8. 8. See that David was the one who conquered the Moabites. And when the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River, and they were established in the land of Moab, that King Balak felt threatened because their oxen and their cattle were eating the grass, and the people were a great number, and so on. But it's interesting that as we see later, that David was the one that smote the Moabites. Verse 1. And after this it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them. And David took out of the hand of the Philistines, and he smote Moab and measured them with a line, and so on. And he was the one that smote the Moabite nation of people. So we see here that he's the one, speaking of David, he's the one that would smite the corners of Moab and to destroy the children of Seth. And so out of David, the seed of David, came Christ after the flesh. He's the one. And so I think that's why, and we see here that it does refer to the Lord Jesus Christ as a star of Jacob. And he's the only one that was born a star. And, you know, Israel today, the Jewish people, their symbol is the Star of David, isn't it? They have it both nationally and religiously. They have the symbol of the star. But they don't realize the true meaning of the Star of David. They don't realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is that Star of David, that he's the Messiah. And one day, that star is going to rule and reign over Israel. And the true meaning of the Star of David will be seen. Many of them wear it as a good luck charm or something that they can hold on to, knowing not the true star of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that, as we see in Matthew, in the story of the Lord Jesus, that he's the star that as God guided the star to shine upon him, on that perfect star, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we see that as a star, he is the one who receives all the glory and the honor. As they fell down and worshipped him, and presented to him the gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, not fully realizing, I'm sure, that he was the perfect star of Israel. I was thinking of that aspect as we go into the church today. There's many people today that want to be stars in the church. They want to have prominence. They want to be seen. They want to be heard. They want to have their interpretation and so on, the scripture, seen. They don't realize that there is one star, the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's never presented that way in relation to the church. Though he is in that position, yet he is simply humble, has humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. To the church, he's always presented as a shepherd, as one who cares for his own. He is the head of the body, isn't he? Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians speaks so much of the church, and I think First Corinthians, I think of the two books that speak so much of the aspect of the church, and he is rightfully the head of the church. We'll begin at verse 19. I'm going to break into the sentence here of Paul's prayer. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, what is that which is to come? There's another world. I was thinking of that today. I was reading it. Not only in this world, but in that which is to come. There's a new world, isn't there, where the Lord Jesus Christ is going to reign and rule in righteousness. And he's exalted. His glory is seen. He's exalted him far above all principalities and power and might. Everything, anything that could be named in this world, he's far above. He has every right to declare himself as a star. But yet he humbles himself and he comes to this world and being willing to die on the cruel cross, and to give his life for us. But in that which is to come, not only in this world, but in that which is to come, that put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, fullness of him that filleth all in all. He's the head of the church. He's the head of the body. The body of believers, we're members of his body, and he is the head. And I think it's a great thought when we think of it, that's his glory. That's the Lord Jesus Christ's rightful position as the head of the body. But there's many today that want to portray themselves as stars and prominence and take away from the head the Lord Jesus Christ, who deserves the rightful place as head of the body. And we need to look to our head and look to him and seek him and seek to be obedient to him and learning more of him and getting to know him and to exercise our gifts in relation to the body. And in being members one of another, in serving one another, and recognizing that he is the head, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. It's the fullness of him. It's his fullness. It's all of him. He supplies every joint of the body and every need. Out of His fullness, He supplies. He's never portrayed as the star. He's always portrayed as the head of the body. He's the one. 1 Corinthians 12. Let's just go back for a few verses. First Corinthians 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And you know, that's how God, in the church, His fullness, His exaltation, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ as the head, as He has declared Him the head of the body here on earth and throughout all eternity. And we see that we're members one of another, and there is one Spirit. By one Spirit are we baptized into one body. It's by His Spirit that we're placed into His body, and we're members one of another. And we drink of the one Spirit. We seek our sustenance, and He who reveals Christ to us, the things of Him, which is our bond, that bonds us together through this working of the Spirit of God, and depending on Him, can we look to our head. And we're members one of another, and the body is not one member, but it is many. Many members of His body. So as we think of that fact, that He's the head of the body, and we're members of His body, that we recognize that it's His authority and it's His power that depend upon. It's nothing of our own. It's His power through the Spirit of God. Can we have unity and serve together, exercising our gifts as God has given to each one of us severally, as He will. And it's good to see the exercising of the gifts in the assembly here, men and women who seek to serve the Lord in doing what they can and seeking to serve the Lord and the ministry of the Word. And God has gifted men to be able to search the Scriptures and to expound the things of the Word of God. And there's many things that is done in the assembly by the ladies that exercise the talents and the gifts that God has given to them, and doing many things as a support of the work here in the assembly. And God is the one that sees, and He's the one that rewards in His time. And I remember Don had spoken one Thursday night in the thought of what is in your hand. You know, I can do this, I can put a bulb in, I can fix a window, or I can do other things. Maybe I can't do some things, but there are other things that I could do. And just being a willing worker and willing to do what needs to be done in support of the work here as being members of the body of Christ and seeing the work go forth. There's also another aspect I'd like to look at, and you probably know where I'm heading to. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22. We'll going to look at the morning star. And he's the star that was born in Bethlehem. He was the one that was prophesied as the seed of David to be that one who would redeem Israel. And though Israel has rejected the Messiah, one day they're going to bow the knee in great affliction. They desire to see the Messiah, to see him come and save them. Their hearts will cry out to him in anguish to come and to save them because of the judgment that is upon them. But we see here the morning star, the bright and morning star. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. We see here that the Lord Jesus addresses himself, doesn't he? I, Jesus. I don't know of any other place in Revelation that we find this. But he addresses himself, I, Jesus. And he sent an angel to testify to the churches. He has a message to tell them of these things that he's about to speak of. And as he sends the message, he declares to them who he is. I am the root and the offspring of David. Now, what is the root? A root is something that is very foundational for a tree, isn't it? It's something that without the roots, there's no way a tree will stand. The interesting thing is, for the most part, you can't see the roots. They're underneath the ground, but yet they're the most vital part of a tree, bringing the sustenance and food in which the tree needs in order to grow. The root could speak of many things, but I think one thing that could speak of as born as the Son of God, he was equal with God, wasn't he? His deity. The declaration of the fact that he's equal with God was something that the Jewish people could not understand, because in the Jewish religion, they say there's only one God. You're saying there's two gods. You're a God, and our Father in heaven is God. How can it be? But the great declaration that he is the Son of God, God manifested in the flesh, declares to him that he is truly God, the Son, that he's equal with God. And of the offspring of David, of the seed of David, presents his birth, the fact that he is born of this, prophesied as the born of the seed of David. He's the offspring of David, which speaks of his birth. And I think those are two of the great foundational things as we see. As he speaks of himself, I, Jesus, in testifying to the churches, speaks of these things foundationally in regards to who he truly is. He's the bright and the morning star. We're living in the days of darkness, aren't we? But soon the darkness of the night is going to turn to the brightness of the morning, isn't it? But in the day, this day in which we're living, in the church age, is depicted as the darkness of night. But soon the morning star is going to appear, and the day will dawn, and the darkness will give way to light, because the Lord Jesus Christ will be coming back for his own. That time is going to come to a close. The darkness will end, and the light will shine forth. We're waiting for that morning star, for him to appear, that time. We're waiting for him to come as the morning star. He'll be the star of all, won't he? Eventually, as he sets up his kingdom here on earth, he will be the star of the whole world, won't he? He's going to reign and rule in righteousness. He'll be the bright and morning star. Not just the morning star, but he's going to be the bright one. His glory that will be seen. And the star of Jacob and the scepter of Israel, the authority of Israel, he will be. He's the scepter. He's the authority. And that time, when the bright and morning star appears, his authority will be declared. He's the one who carries the scepter and all the authority. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 24, when cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And that time is yet to come when he is the one who will be the star of the world, as the bright and morning star that will shine upon it, upon the world. But it's a time when he himself will reign, and he's going to rule, and he's going to put all enemies under his feet, because he's the one, the only one, that will be the star. All man's efforts and aspirations and in the religious world and all man's efforts that he has done and all will be counted as naught, because the Lord himself is going to reign and he's going to rule. We have a great, when we think of the fact, we have a great future before us, don't we, as believers? We're part of his body. We're looking to a time when we're going to be with him throughout all eternity. We're looking for that morning, bright and morning star to appear, when the Lord himself will come for his own, when he will set up his kingdom and will reign with him. The Lord himself will be the star. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. A light until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Speaking of the day star, when the day dawns, there's a new day coming, and the Lord himself is that one that day star will appear in our hearts. That he's the one that will reign in the heart of man, and he's the one that we look to as the day star. He presents him as a light that shineth in a dark place, the Word of God that shines in a dark place, and it tells us of that new day that is dawning, and the day star will arise in your hearts. The day of when the light will shine freely, when there'll be no obstructions, when the Lord Himself will be the brightness and the light. There'll be nothing to hinder, that He Himself will rule and reign. And glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And I believe that's the time when the day star arises in our hearts, that there will be peace and there will be goodwill towards men. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for all that he's done. And help us as we celebrate his birth, we'll be reminded of him, and that God came to earth in the person of his Son. And we thank you for him. And we pray that we might exalt him and help us to look to the future, to the time when we will be with him and as the one whom we look forward to seeing, and when there will be peace and this world will pass away. But we thank you that we have a great future to look to. Help us, we pray, and we give you thanks for your word. In Christ's name, amen.